Chapter 6. "Girl, it's about time," Des complained as Jamie walked into Nico's. "Where you been?" Something about his question made her so angry that she couldn't answer. It didn't help that Darcy, Hakeem, Cooper, and Tara were there too, listening to every word. "And don't say at tryouts," he added, resting his arms on her shoulders as if she was his property. "They were at tryouts too, and they've been sitting there for about 5 minutes." Tasha, Vanessa, Renita, and Kim were sitting in the corner. Vanessa held Tasha's pink phone between her long nails. The girls were hunched close like animals at a feeding. They cackled loudly several times as they looked at something on the tiny screen. "Great," Jamie muttered, ignoring Des's question. "This is just great."
"What's the matter, girl?"
Tara asked. She slid the pizza they had ordered toward her.
"Nothing," Jamie sighed, not wanting to explain it. "I'm just tired."
"I'd be tired too if I was you," Cooper joked. "Listening to his big mouth all day is enough to wear anyone out," he said, looking at Des.
"Man, why you gotta be like that, Coop?" Des protested.
"'Cause you always bugging her, that's why. Do you ever see what the coach has them girls doing? I used to think cheerleading was all pom-poms and stuff, but one day I passed by the gym after school and the coach had all the girls doing backflips and step dances. That's no joke. I could never do that."
"So what were you doing watching them cheerleaders in the first place?" Tara cut in, raising an eyebrow at her boyfriend.
"Uh-oh," Hakeem said with a smile. "You walked right into that, Coop."
"Oh, come on, T. It wasn't like that," Cooper insisted.
"Mm-hmm," Tara said, a teasing glint in her eye. Des ignored them both.
"But that still don't answer my question. Why are you so late?" he asked.
"Coach Seville wanted to talk to me, okay?" Jamie lied. She didn't want to admit that she had sat alone in the locker room, wishing she didn't have to go to Nico's or that she was still bothered by what Des had said the other day. Even though he apologized, she still thought about her reputation and how he had expected her to kiss him whenever he wanted, or maybe go further. Maybe that was why he wanted to go out with her in the first place. The thought made her stomach churn.
"Why didn't you say so?"
Des answered, squeezing her a bit tighter. His sweaty skin clung to the back of her neck. She felt trapped, almost claustrophobic. Having Vanessa and the other girls so close only made it worse. She wanted to shrug him off and walk out, but she couldn't think of a way to do it without making a scene.
"I hope your coach wasn't talking to you about your grades," Darcy chimed in. "They treat cheerleaders just like athletes. You'll have to keep your grades up, too."
"That's because we are athletes. And no, it wasn't about my grades, okay?" Jamie snapped. "It was something else."
Her eyes strayed toward Vanessa and her friends. She wondered what they were staring at on the tiny screen.
"No need to get upset," Darcy muttered. "I'm just trying to help."
"Well, you can help by staying out of my business," Jamie snapped, the frustration of the past few days boiling over inside of her. "Did you ever think I might get sick of hearing about what a great student you are compared to me?
Are you Darcy's sister? I'd expect better from Darcy's sister, blah, blah, blah."
Darcy blinked at her in surprise.
"I'm sorry, Jamie. I just meant..."
"Yeah, I know what you meant."
Jamie rolled her eyes.
"But maybe if I make cheerleader, you'll get some of what I've been dealing with. Maybe someone will ask you if you're Jamie Wills' sister, instead of the other way around. In the meantime, just leave me alone."
Darcy recoiled as if she had just been slapped. Tara grunted while Cooper grabbed another slice of pizza in silence. For a long time, no one spoke as if they were too scared to get involved in a fight between sisters. Jamie wished she had skipped Nico's and gone straight home.
"Hey, Jamie," Des said when the silence got thick enough to taste. "Your girl's over there checking you out."
Jamie turned toward the corner booth. She caught Tasha's eye for a split second just as Vanessa whispered something to her. Tasha giggled, but Jamie could tell it was forced. Tasha almost seemed uncomfortable, the way she had looked the day Vanessa borrowed her phone.
"What are they up to?" Jamie wondered.
Just then, Renita leaned close and said something into Vanessa's ear.
All of the girls stopped talking and turned their heads back toward the door. Jamie followed their stares. Angel McAllister walked into the restaurant, still wearing the shorts and t-shirt she had on at practice. A thin little girl with the same round face and dark coffee bean eyes held her hand.
"Is that Angel's little sister?"
Jamie wondered. The way she looked up at Angel as they approached the counter made her think so.
"Hey, ain't that the skinny girl Vanessa was dogging the other day?"
Dez asked. "Her name is Angel," Jamie snapped. As she watched, Vanessa slid from her booth and started toward Angel and her sister. Jamie had a bad feeling. Without a word, she rose from her chair and moved toward the counter. Dez and the others looked surprised as she passed, but Jamie couldn't explain, not now.
"What's up, Angel?" Jamie said, darting in front of Vanessa.
She could tell from Vanessa's expression that she had gotten in her way and stopped her from doing something rude.
"I didn't know you came to Nico's."
"I don't," Angel said, nervously eyeing Vanessa.
"This is my first time here. I heard they have the best pizza around, so my mom sent us here to get one."
Jamie could tell Angel was uncomfortable.
"What are you doing, Jamie?"
Vanessa grumbled, her eyes narrowing.
"Nothing, just saying hi to my girl, that's all," Jamie replied, raising her voice so that everyone at her table could hear.
She figured Vanessa wouldn't start anything if she knew Darcy and Tara were watching, too.
"That okay with you?"
Vanessa glanced over at her table and gave a quick fake smile, but her eyes were anything but happy. Angel quickly ordered her pizza. Her little sister hovered by her waist.
"So, you gonna do your aerial for the audition tomorrow, Angel?" Jamie continued.
She hoped the pizza would be done quickly and Angel and her sister could get away before anything bad happened.
"If we all make the team, you'll have to teach us how to do it. Maybe even you, Vanessa."
"There's more to cheerleading than just aerials, Jamie," Vanessa snarled.
"Yeah, but it doesn't hurt her chances, does it?" Jamie replied.
She wanted Angel to hear her. She looked so nervous, so scared whenever Vanessa was around. And yet Angel had something special. Jamie wanted her to remember it the night before auditions. She knew Vanessa would try to rip it away.
"Whatever," Vanessa huffed. "It's not enough, especially not for her."
"Here you go,"
interrupted the guy working the counter. He slid a box toward Angel.
"That's $10.
Angel let go of the little girl's hand and gave him a crushed wad of bills. Then she grabbed the pizza box.
"See you, Jamie," she said quickly. "Come on, Dion, let's go."
Vanessa's hand flashed out the instant Angel shifted her attention to her sister. The pizza box tipped precariously and began to spill toward the floor, but Jamie reached forward and grabbed it first.
"Whoa,"
she muttered as the box leveled out in Angel's hands again.
"That was close."
Angel stared at Vanessa for what felt like forever. Jamie could feel the battle going on between them.
"Angel, let's go," Dion whispered. "I'm hungry."
The little girl's voice broke Angel's stare. She grabbed the pizza with both hands this time and turned toward the door.
"I'm not going to quit, Vanessa," she said softly. "Coach Seville might not pick me, but I'm not going to quit. I don't care what you do."
She nodded at Jamie.
"Thanks, Jamie. I wouldn't have had enough money to buy another one."
"No problem.
I'll teach you the aerial anytime you want."
Jamie grinned.
"I'd like that."
Angel's little sister lifted her fingers in a wave and gave Jamie a smile as they left. Jamie would have returned to her table, but Vanessa stepped in her way.
"You just made a big mistake, Jamie," she hissed. "I gave you a chance, but it's over now."
There was a smudge of mascara under her right eye that made her look like someone had punched her. The smudge and the angry sneer on her face made her suddenly look very, very ugly.
"Is everything okay?"
Dez had gotten up from the table. Darcy, Hakeem, Tara, and Cooper walked up behind him.
"Everything's fine."
Vanessa's voice dripped with honey, but her eyes glinted with anger.
"We've got to get home, Jamie," Darcy said.
"Yes, you get home, Jamie," Vanessa said in a sugary tone as fake as cotton candy. "I'll see you tomorrow."
Jamie could hear the threat in her voice even if no one else could.
She walked out of Nico's uneasily, wondering what Vanessa was up to.
"Why did you do that to me, Jamie?" Darcy asked as soon as they got outside and everyone split up.
Her voice was almost shaking with anger.
"Why did you embarrass me like that in front of my friends?"
"You do it to me all the time. All I said was that I was stupid, that I have bad grades and I'm going to get kicked off the cheering squad right after I make it. That's not what I said."
Darcy yelled so loudly that people on the street turned and stared.
"But that's what you meant?"
"It's what you always mean when you talk to me, Darcy. Like you think I'm too dumb to do anything, so you gotta nag me all the time. Admit it."
"Forget it," Darcy muttered. "There's no use talking to you sometimes."
She turned and walked briskly down the street, her arms wrapped tightly around her books. Jamie stood on the corner trembling with anger as her sister disappeared down the block. Everything suddenly seemed so complicated. Her relationship with Darcy, her feelings about Dez, her performance in school, the cheerleading tryouts. It seemed as if everybody was pressuring her to be someone else. Her family and teachers wanted her to be Darcy. Vanessa wanted her to be like Tasha and pick on Angel for no reason. Dez wanted her to be the girl with a bad reputation. But Jamie wanted none of this. And yet the more she tried to be herself, the more trouble she got into. Confused and uncertain, Jamie reluctantly followed Darcy home.
"In here,"
Dad called when Jamie finally reached the house. His voice had an urgent sound to it. Jamie sighed. She figured that Darcy told him they had gotten into an argument at Nico's. Now she would have to explain to Dad what happened.
"Thanks a lot, Darcy," she thought, as if making my life miserable at school isn't enough.
She trudged toward the sound of her father's voice, expecting to find him in her parents' room. But instead, the door to Grandma's room stood wide open. A hint of Grandma's lilac perfume still hung in the air. It almost seemed as if Grandma herself were inside, ready to greet her with a smile. Instead, Dad was sitting on the floor wearing an old t-shirt. Sweat darkened his shirt beneath his arms and along his back. Mom sat next to him in Grandma's old rocking chair, wiping her eyes with a wad of tissues. Darcy stood in front of them. They were staring at an open cardboard box. No one looked up when Jamie walked in.
"What's going on?" she asked.
"Well, your father took some time off to go to the doctor with me today, and we figured it's time." Her mother shrugged her shoulders a bit. "Grandma's been gone over 3 months, and we gotta start making room for this baby, so..."
Jamie looked around. Until today, the room had been left exactly as it had been when Grandma was alive. But now, Jamie noticed that her curtains were gone, and the windows looked stark and bare. Two of the dresser drawers were open and clothes were scattered on her bed. When Jamie glanced at the closet, she could see that all of Grandma's shoes were gone. Jamie swallowed down a lump in her throat. Grandma had died in this room. Jamie shook, remembering the morning they found her silent and still in her bed. After her stroke and a long, slow decline, she had passed peacefully in her sleep, taking her voice, her wisdom, and her comforting presence with her. It didn't seem right to throw all her things in a box as if she had never been there. Jamie blinked hard to keep tears from rolling down her face.
"I know," Mom said, gently touching her shoulder. "You can really feel her spirit in this room, but she'd be the first one to tell us to move on. I can hear her in my head right now. She's saying, 'Maddie, you get that room ready for my grandchild, you hear? A baby needs that space more than I do.'" Mom sounded just like Grandma. Jamie wanted to both laugh and cry. Even though what Mom said made sense, Jamie didn't want to let go of Grandma's room. Somehow, it made it seem as if she was still nearby, ready to listen when no one else would. Jamie wished she could talk to her right now.
"Are you getting rid of everything?" she asked, trying to hide her thoughts.
Mom shook her head. "No, we're keeping the things that meant the most to her, but she wouldn't want us holding on to her clothes forever, especially when someone else could wear them. You understand, right?"
Jamie nodded. But understanding didn't make it any easier. Her throat felt as if she had swallowed a basketball. She hated watching Grandma's room being torn apart, no matter what the reason.
Darcy's packing up her dresser. Maybe you can do the closet. Here.
Dad held out a box of plastic bags to her. Mom watched her from the rocking chair. If you see something important that you want to keep, I want you to take it. Grandma would want you to, okay? Jamie could feel her parents watching her. She knew they meant well, but it still didn't seem right. Yet what could she do? Without a word, Jamie grabbed the plastic bags and began removing Grandma's blouses and skirts from the closet. On one hanger, she found an old gray sweater Grandma used to wear. Stuck on the front was a button Jamie had made for her on Mother's Day in Mrs. Kopeck's first grade class. "World's Greatest Grandma," it read, in awkward pink letters around a picture Jamie drew of herself in crayon. At the time, Jamie thought her picture was perfect. Now she realized it looked silly and sloppy. Yet Grandma wore it as if it were a priceless treasure. Jamie wondered if she was just being nice or if she really did like it. "Look at this," Darcy said, breaking her thoughts. She held a big black hat with a pink flower pinned on the side. "Her Sunday hat," Mom said. "She must have worn that hat to church 1,000 times before she got too sick to go." Her voice trailed off.
"Maddie?" Dad went over and patted her shoulder. "You okay? You want to stop?"
"I'm okay, Carl. I just can't help thinking about how happy she would be to have a baby to hold again. She'd be smiling ear to ear."
"Yes, she would," Dad agreed.
Jamie winced. Of course Grandma would love the baby, but why did they act as if everything would be better once the baby arrived? A baby wouldn't fix anything. "Grandma's still gone, and my life's still a mess." Jamie almost said the words out loud as she filled another bag with Grandma's clothes. Next to her, Mom leaned forward in Grandma's rocker and stood up slowly, resting her hands on her belly. "Well, I gotta work tonight, so I'd better get changed." Just then, the phone rang. Darcy moved toward the door, but Mom stopped her. "I'm up, I'll get it," she said, and stepped into the hallway, swaying slightly as she walked.
"So, Darcy, how's school?" asked Dad.
"Good," Darcy answered. She then went on about what she found on the computer and how she was going to take some test called the PSAT in a few weeks. Jamie ignored her, carefully removing the button she had made from Grandma's sweater. She had just slipped it in her pocket when she heard the phone slam down in the other room.
"Jamie Wills," her mother hollered from down the hallway. "Get your butt out here right now."
"What is it, Maddie?" Dad asked.
Darcy turned and flashed Jamie the "what did you do now" look. Jamie almost told her off as she rushed to Mom. Dad followed right behind her. Mom stood at the kitchen counter with a look of fury on her face.
"What, Mom?" Jamie asked, bewildered. "What'd I do?"
"It's what you didn't do, according to Mrs. Gessner, your algebra teacher. That was her on the phone."
She looked over Jamie's head to her father. Jamie felt her stomach sinking as her mother scowled at her. "Apparently, Jamie failed a test and was supposed to bring it home for us to sign. You seen a math test?" Dad shook his head.
"That true, Jamie?"
"Yes, but that's only part of it, Carl. Mrs. Gessner says Jamie told her we signed it."
"What?"
Dad crossed his arms on his chest and shook his head.
"And she was supposed to meet her after school for extra help, but she skipped it twice for cheerleading practice."
Her mother fumed, the creases in her forehead deep and angry.
"Jamie, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. There ain't gonna be no cheerleading if you can't keep your grades up."
"I know," Jamie tried to explain.
"But, Mom, it's just one stupid test and I'm gonna retake it tomorrow."
"Did you study? Did you go get some extra help?"
Jamie hung her head.
"No, of course not. You're too busy with cheerleaders and sneaking around with that boy Desmond Houghton."
"I didn't sneak."
"Maddie, remember what the doctor said. Not to get upset," Dad urged, putting his hand on Mom's shoulder.
"It's too late for that, Carl," Mom snapped, shrugging away from him and turning back to Jamie.
You're not going to amount to anything in this world if you keep this up. You hear me? The only reason you even made it through eighth grade is because your teachers cut you some slack with all the problems we went through last year.
Her mother flashed Dad a knowing look and shook her head as if she were disgusted.
And after all that and our meeting this summer, you still failed your first test. And you lied to us about it.
Mom's voice boomed with anger.
Maddie.
And for what? She continued, glaring at Jamie. Stupid cheerleading. I can't believe this.
Jamie knew she had been wrong to lie. Deep inside, she also knew she would never achieve as much as Darcy. But one word Mom said set off a spark in her head. Stupid. She couldn't hold her anger in anymore.
Cheerleading's not stupid, she yelled back at her mother. Algebra's stupid.
Oh, so now you got all the answers too, huh? Mom said, stepping forward and glaring down into Jamie's face.
Let me tell you something. You better turn this around and start being more like Darcy when it comes to school, or we're going to have some serious problems around here.
Jamie trembled in rage at Mom's words. There it was again. Be like Darcy. She wanted to grab her mother's shoulders and shake her.
I'm not Darcy, Mom, she shouted. Maybe if you weren't so caught up in Darcy's testing and Aunt Charlotte's computer and your stupid plans for the baby's room, you'd see that. Whap!
Mom's open palm struck Jamie on the side of her face, filling her cheek with pain. Dad darted in between them and gently nudged Mom back.
Maddie, please!
You watch your mouth, Jamie Wills, her mother hissed, a fiery mix of shock and fury in her eyes. I can't even stand to look at you right now. Go to your room.
Jamie stood still. Even though she knew she should move, her feet felt nailed to the floor.
And tomorrow, you better pass that test, you hear me? If you don't, cheerleading's over, and you're going to be grounded in this house until you get your head on straight and learn to speak to me with some respect. You hear me? Now go.
Jamie didn't move. Her cheek throbbed where her mother's fingers had struck her. Tears pooled in her eyes, but she wouldn't let them fall. Not with everyone staring at her. Not with Darcy's mouth hanging open in disbelief.
You can send me to my room all you want, but you can't make me care about that test. Jamie said, her chest heaving. I'm not like her, okay?
Jamie jerked her head down toward Darcy.
I never have been. I'm sorry if that's not good enough for any of you.
Her mother turned and rubbed her forehead as if she had a terrible headache.
Jamie, please, just go, Dad said in a low voice, rushing to Mom's side. It's not good for the baby or your mother to be upset.
But what about me? Jamie thought as she stood at the edge of the hallway alone.
She could feel the tears swirling behind her eyes and Darcy's constant stare pressing over her face. Unable to hide her tears any longer, Jamie hurried to her room and slammed the door.